give practical application of what that looks like when my Bible time is early in the morning before any other family member is awake, including my wife. Seems impossible with current schedule to sit and read the Bible holding hands together. And so, can you give some practical points of how we can do that at this stage in life? Busy, crazy, and not 15 years out when we have time to hold hands and read the Bible together quietly.
Michael, that is a blessing. You all heard that question, right? So I don't have to repeat it, but I will make a confession, and Bonnie knows this. I can't read the Bible holding hands. I get completely distracted. In fact, I don't remember. I was talking to one of you in the hallway, and she walked by, and I forgot what we were talking about. So honestly, whoever it was, they know that that happened. So, but let's just look at a passage of Scripture in Deuteronomy 6, and I just want to show you the read the Bible aloud concept, and then just give you some ideas, Michael, what we've done, you know, in the stages of our family life, because it is hard, and it's hard to raise children. Well, it's hard to be married. In fact, life is hard, but then marriage makes it harder, and children make it even harder. And so it's very hard. But Deuteronomy 6, after the Shema, verse 4, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And then he says, you know, what Jesus repeats, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And now here comes the scripture. And these words, Deuteronomy 6:6, which I command you today, shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up, and on with the binding, and write them on your doorposts. So basically, from 4 all the way to 9, talks about our responsibility as parents, whether single parents or both believing parents or whatever we are, is to communicate the Word of God. Now, there are, and as I said, you have many stages of this. All this says is, this does not say you're supposed to read the Bible consecutively holding hands or anything else. It says that you're supposed to have the words in your heart. So verse 6 is really important. There's that internal, the heart portion. And that is probably, Michael, your crack of dawn devotions. We need personally to feed our soul, Matthew 4:4. We don't just need bread. We need every word of God. So they have to be in our heart. But then verse 7 says we're supposed to teach them and talk about them. There's the communication phase. Now, depending on the age of the children, just to give you some perspective, Bonnie and I both have always practiced our own personal devotions. Before the children were old enough to talk, we would just ask each other what we're learning. For a period of time, we drove together. In fact, we used to drive through the 25-mile-long parking lot that the 110 is in downtown Los Angeles. It's 25 miles from where we lived in down in Torrance all the way to downtown. And it took an hour and a half to 2 hours to drive 25 miles. So that means you're averaging about 10 miles an hour. And so we actually read through the whole New Testament just sitting in that parking lot, just a chapter a day. As we drove up there, we also ate our breakfast. I mean, we did everything in the car. It was amazing. In fact, if I talk long enough, I'll tell you one of the funniest things that ever happened to me was in the car driving up there, but I don't want to talk about that. There's this element of our heart, but then the communication, first you practice. In fact, I tell all couples that the key to this is not the forced, get the big Bible and plop it and give everybody a notebook and give them assignments, but just communicating. Say, wow, I just learned the most wonderful thing as I was reading the Bible today. And you communicate it. You communicate it. You talk about it, as it says. You talk of them, verse 7, when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. So there's this communication that folds into life. In other words, it's not a forced thing. It folds into life. And that's the essence of the biblical home, that God's word be communicated after it's in the heart of the parents. They discuss it with the children. Now, how does that take in the different stages? We started when they were 0 to when they could read, depending on whether they were the girls who were little geniuses or the boys who were not, you know, higher age here. And we would do Bible story books, you know, like Edgar Meyer's was Bonnie's favorite. But we would just, and when we had the little Lutheran series, the I forget what they were called, where every one of the characters of the Bible, and we would just read those and we'd talk about them, discuss them, and pray with the kids. Now, we still, personally, above here, we had our devotional time, and we, you know, Daddy or Mama would share with the kids what we read in the Bible, and they would go, uh-huh, you know, because they didn't understand what we were talking about, and when they were little. But then we started noticing somewhere in here, when they were old enough, they used to have the Bible, and we'd notice that. Now, a lot of times it would be upside down, you know, you could tell they couldn't read, or it'd be the wrong way, but they wanted to hold the Bible. In fact, something Bonnie pointed out to me, I spent 16, 18, I don't know how many hours, I taught the week and a half ago in Hungary, and I had the same translator. Istvan was his name. And he was a good translator. I mean, he communicated everything. I mean, not just the words. He caught your expression, your laugh, your motions and everything. But what I did notice is that he always, the way he held his Bible, you could tell he loved his Bible. And so I got done speaking. I went and sat down, and I was sitting diagonal, and I watched him. And he sat down with his wife, and he had two little toddlers, and he had to jump up to translate announcements, so I wasn't teaching. So he left his Bible behind on his chair. And that little guy had to be maybe 3. Picked up that Bible, and he put it on his lap, and he just, you could tell it was a treasure for him, because it was a treasure to his dad. And Bonnie and I watched him for the longest time, and he just happily turned every page, held it so carefully. And what Bonnie reminded me is that they're watching. See, this is the watching stage. But once they get old enough, whenever they become readers, and I don't mean, scholastic readers, I mean they can read anything, we clicked over, as soon as the oldest one was able to be a reader, we clicked over to going from just the cute picture storybook things to actually sitting around the table with the Bible, and everyone got one. And again, they were upside down and this way and everything else. But we read from them, and I would say that probably, I think maybe 6, if not all 8 of our children, the very first time they read out loud in their whole life was reading the Bible around the table. And it used to be the intensity that you could tell when they were getting close, because you could see that they were watching everybody, and their finger was going, and they were getting ready, and you know they were just itching to. It's like jump rope, you know, jumping in when it was just at the right moment, and they would start reading, and we would all stop and we'd clap for them, because what we did is once they became readers, we designated, and for us it was supper, and we started reading a chapter a day at supper. Now, you know what that means. That means you have to eat together. You have to be in one place. You have to eat the meal together. That you have to not allow the normal, which is kids just hit and run. You know, they grab the food and they go off to their room, or they're watching TV or something else. It was, you were there for the duration, whatever the length of time it was. And you brought your Bible, and we had a little stack of Bibles, and after the meal, we pushed the dishes, and we started reading a chapter a day, and we would just read round and around. And verse 1. Verse 2, and they'd stumble through it, and it was hilarious. You know, they missed every, you know, Abinadab, you know, and they go, Abinadab, and we go, great, keep reading, you know, and we would go around and around, and they would read that. And it took us to read the Bible, reading once a day for us is 5 days a week, because Dad, usually 2 days a week, I was never home. Sunday is one of those days. In fact, my daughter, my oldest daughter, used to tell the people in the nursery they'd have prayer request time for the two-year-olds, and she'd say, you know, with no teeth, she'd say, pray for my dad, he did not go to church. I was preaching, but I left in the dark in the morning before she even got up, and I came back while they were at lunch and slipped in, and then I left again, and she was ferried to the nursery, and so she used to pray for her dad that didn't go to church, but he did read the Bible with her 5 days a week, and so that was good. But it took us 5 to 6 years to read through the Bible once. And we're on it again. It's going to take us 12 years to read the Bible through twice with our family at supper around the table. And so that's the reading it out loud. Now, as far as Bonnie reading with me, the whole Bible, we have only read the New Testament because, you know, we took one solid year reading the New Testament out loud to each other as we were in the car. And then, you know, after we were married for a year and a half, we had the beginning of all these little people that were around all the time. We've never not had little people around all the time. And so she still has her time in the Lord, and I still have my time in the Lord, and our joint time is at the meals when we read as a family. And what's so fascinating is that it used to just be read it. But the problem is, once they all get old enough, I mean, when the youngest one is about 8 years old and the older ones are older, it's a killer because all they do is ask questions. Oh, so what happened to Tamar? What did that Absalom do to her? You know, raped her. What does that mean? Oh, boy. I mean, you can get in the most interesting topics reading the Bible out loud. And it really became a powerful time to see where they were spiritually, where we were spiritually, and doing what Deuteronomy says, that you teach them diligently and you talk about it as you go through the day. So what I would say is this, Michael, not to discourage you, but as a husband, I would just ask your wonderful wife, say, hey, what did you find in God's Word today? And if she looks at you and says, I've been changing diapers and washing clothes since before dawn, and I haven't had time yet. Why don't you watch the kids so I can read my Bible? And you volunteer to do it. But if she hasn't, and there were days that happened, you know, with all the children we had. And so you know what I'd say to Bonnie? I'd say, honey, then let me tell you what I've found. And I shared what I had found. And then I said, but you can go off, make a cup of tea. I will do whatever it takes to keep the kids out of your hair so you can have a quiet time all alone with the Lord. So the key is ask your wife. The second thing is to, instead of ask your children where they read, first explain to them what you're reading. And do you remember imitation? A lot of people love to imitate someone they admire. And if your children see you reading the Bible, they'll ask you what you're doing. If your children see you praying, they'll ask you what you're doing. And they will be drawn to do what you do. And so I would explain to my children what I was doing when they asked me what I was doing. I was reading the Bible. And it wasn't long before I noticed them, and they would be, a lot of times, I could never get in that position anymore. They'd be laying on the floor on their stomach with their little legs crossed and their Bible in front of them. And they would have all the little pens, like I mark my Bible. They'd have them all out. Did a terrible job. It was hard to read their Bibles, but they were imitating what I was doing because I explained to them that every day I want to listen to the Lord. That's what reading the Bible is, listening to the Lord. And every day I want to, after listening to him, I want to talk to him. That's prayer. So explain that. Then when they got older, and there is no magic age for this, but then is when I would start asking them where they were in the Bible. And you know what? Even to this day, I will get, you know, smile and say, I haven't read yet. But you know what that is? That's me not forcing, but just reminding. You see, you can ask me where I am. I'm going to ask where you are. And after they tell me where they are, I say, wow, you know, that's a good chapter. Tell me about it. And they say, well, it was really hard. Or I didn't get anything out of it. Or it was wonderful. And they show what they found. But that's what it is. So there's no magic that you need to spend. By the way, someone asked me this. It takes 72 hours to read the Bible out loud for a normal American. Most of us read at 200 words a minute. That's the average. I mean, a seventh grader is supposed to be able to read at 200 words per minute. Most people read at that speed the rest of their life. Most people don't surpass seventh grade because they read silently at the speed that they're actually saying every word in their mind silently. And so most people are locked in at this 200 WPM rate. And it's only if you go to some speed reading course that they break you loose from mentally vocalizing every word. But if you buy the Bible, it's 72 CDs, one-hour CDs. So that's how we know it takes 72 hours. And so that breaks down to about 15 minutes a day. And there are a bazillion ways of reading the Bible. There, you know, over the years, Bonnie and I have encouraged people to use the one-year Bible. That is a neat one. It divides it up into little snatches of the Old Testament, the New Testament, Psalm and Proverbs. Then there are the chronological Bible, which I think is unbelievable. It actually puts everything into, Genesis and puts Job back there and puts all the Psalms into the Kings and Samuel and 1st, 2nd Samuel, puts the Psalms in, puts the minor prophets into Kings and Chronicles. It puts the epistles into Acts. It actually puts the Bible in chronological order. Then there's another amazing one. It's called the Narrated Bible. And that's written by a guy out of Pepperdine who's a Church of Christ, but he's a believer. And what he did with that is he not only does the chronological thing, but he does this little segue or a little explanation when you're moving between the segments of the Bible. And he actually narrates for you as a professor how everything fits together. But for most people, I don't see most couples reading the Bible out loud to each other until, as Michael said, their kids are gone and they have worked it into their schedule as a part. And in fact, usually over the years I've always asked people, I usually do this in the congregation, I don't know if I've done it yet, I don't know if I've been brave enough to do it yet, but I usually say everybody that's ever read the Bible all the way through cover to cover, stand up. Oh, people don't like that, because 80% of all Christians have never read the whole Bible. But what I say is, all of you that would, before the end of the year, would like to have finished the Bible, stand up with them. Boy, we get, I remember doing that once, and this 85-year-old fella stood up with his wife on that second, would like to. And he began reading the Bible, and they read it through out loud at breakfast for 15 minutes every day. And they started at 85, and before I lost track of him, they told me on testimony night one time, they stood up and they said, "We just want to give a testimony. We're 90 years old, and we are on our fifth time reading the Bible out loud together and going through every bit of it." Now, once you've read the whole Bible, it's good to start focusing in depth. In fact, I just talked with a teenager today, and I asked him what their plan was, and he said, "Well, it's kind of random." I said, "Well, why don't you focus your randomness?" And they said, "How?" And I said, "You read the shorter books through once a day for a whole month." That's what I remember. That was specifically what John MacArthur advocated when I was on staff there. This reading. We would read Matthew through once a day for a month. That means you read the book of Matthew 30 times in a month. Now, do you know how long it takes to read Matthew? An hour and 40 minutes. And so you had to get rid of something else to stick an hour and 40 into your day. But you can do that with the epistles. James. The book of James, if you read it as fast as you can read, it only takes 5 minutes to read the whole book of James. I know, when I was in seminary, we used to only have 5 minutes allowed in the shower, and so what we all did is we memorized James, and if you say James, servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting my brethren, count it all joy in the following. If you say it that fast, it takes 5 minutes to say it, and then we had to get out of the shower. So I know it takes 5 minutes, but this is, what I'm saying, Michael, is don't let your plan defeat you. A lot of people, they get this plan up here, and about the fifth day when they miss it, the devil gives them flat tires and they quit. Don't make such a stratospheric goal that we're going to read 8 chapters of the Bible out loud, 3 meals a day, and get through the Bible in 1 month. You know, it probably won't work, and you'll be discouraged, and then you'll never want to lead and initiate anything again. And so just for my friend that always asks me to make it a sentence, encourage your wife by asking her where she is. Explain to your children what you're doing. As they get old enough, ask them what they're doing. And do what fits their age. But when they can read, whether it's once a day or once a week, there is nothing that you'll ever regret about actually sitting with your family, with open Bibles, with the television off, and with total looking at each other and going around the table reading out loud. It is phenomenal to do that. And the reason for it is we're commanded as a biblical family to communicate God's word. After we have learned to get something out of it in our own hearts, then those that are close to us, we communicate and discuss the word of God with them where it fits in their life. And that's all the Lord asks us to do. And he's in charge of the inside and changing and making them cultivate their own. You can't force a child to have a devotional life, but you can model it, and you can encourage it, and you can talk about the benefits in your own life, and you can pray. And prayer is amazing because the God of the universe wants to work as we cry out to him on the inside of our children's lives, or wife, or husband, whoever it is, and get us to communicate the word of God.